You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
In terms of Saturday's action then, Andy,
yep.
What caught your eye the most? I mean, I suppose we have to start by talking about Bouvardaire, because he did what many thought he'd do, but clearly not everybody. He didn't go a favourite in the end, did he?
No, he didn't, no. Like I say, I think it was this, what is known in the trade now as recency bias. People tend to, including me sometimes, go with horses who've had a run, because at least you know what you've got, the fitness is there, the fact that connections off Sam Crowe wanted to come over and press all available buttons to try and make sure that Bouvardaire was going through the pain barrier first time out. It all led for the confidence to be behind Sam Crowe. And if you like Bouvardaire with the conditions and just the general vibes of some of the Nicky Henderson horses weren't quite right first time out. He'd had a wind operation. Would he be as good off the back of a bit of surgery? It just put a little bit of an element of doubt in the punters' minds. And when that is reflected through betting exchanges, it's amazing how the herd and the general sort of layers tend to sort of try and knock each other out and field against it. And they ended up flip-flopping. But it was a sumptuous performance by Bouvardaire, who once again has proved that he's the best around. He probably hasn't been given the credit for his last 2 year victories in the Blue Ribbon because of the lack of opposition. And he was only Wormont-like at best to beat Mellon last year. But he's put the fear of God up everything in that division this year. You know, the likes of Lorena haven't been out here again since. Mellon. He's seen off Sam Crowe. He's seen off Somerville Boy, who I thought was probably the only other horse, apart from Sam Crowe, capable of lacing his boots. But he's absolutely battered him today. It's hard to say. Other than Lorena, it's hard to say anything touching him. He's already beat the best two under conditions and his most vulnerable state, really, today. And he's, like I say, he's not just won, he's laughed at them.
Mm. Bouvardaire, even money. Lorena 4-1, Sam Crowe 7s, Mellon 8s, Min 14s and 16s, and bigger the remainder.
I've backed Somerville Boy, but sometimes you look through things through rose tinted glasses. And
20s now.
I might as well tear my ticket up. Mm. I've done my money. And it was like that kind of bet today. It was either you were onto something or you were completely miles away. And I was miles away.
But a pretty scintillating performance from Bouvardaire. Talk about the Ladbrokes Trophy, because it wasn't a vintage renewal, it's fair to say. But Sizing Tennessee was the winner. And you can't knock that. It was a nice performance.
Only time will tell whether it wasn't a vintage renewal or not.
That is true.
It didn't probably top to bottom look as though it was the strongest, but I think what you do have is a good second season bunch of chasers that performed at the top level. Black Corton, Thomas Patrick, Miss Parfois had been second at a festival, and Elegant Escape had been a good third in the RSA and a good third at Aintree, so genuine grade one horses in a handicap. So he'd had a lot of the ingredients that you usually like to see. And it was run at a brutal pace from start to finish. There was no let-up. Thomas Patrick made sure of that. And to be fair, Sizing Tennessee was always on the sharp end. Mm. He didn't shirk the issue. He didn't get a freebie, i.e. being dropped out the back, and he picked off horses one by one and they faded and he fell home. He was always up there in the first two or three. He jumps immaculately for him. Occasionally he's been a little bit untrustworthy defences, but it was a scintillating performance from a horse riding 11, and that probably does, in most punters' eyes, downgrade the race. But he's very lightly raced. He's always had a bucket load of talent. He got it all together today, and he beat the right horse, Elegant Escape, who, from the same stable, had the similar hallmarks as Native River, i.e. second season chaser who won at Newbury last year, who looks a Gold Cup horse or a winner of a big national one day because he stays well. it just looks totally believable form to me. And the fact that they were strung out and a lot of horses cried off three out.
Yeah.
It suggests that...
And some fairly solid performances.
Yeah,
as well.
Like Miss Parfa was going well at the cross fence, wasn't she? I mean, Ali's here next to me. We thought, God, this is nearly going to win. It was trading at sort of 2-1 in running at that stage. So most punters were thinking, oh, this is going to win. Mm. And then all of a sudden, the front two kicked again. And within stride, she was beaten off. Mm. And it was only really Elegant the Scout that picked up the pieces.
Okay. Any other eye catchers from today, just from anywhere, really, whether it's at a minor level, but one
Champs.
Yeah, that was impressive. Yeah.
I don't know what's ready for him.
Because it was such a step up in not necessarily in grade, but just in calibre of opposition.
Well, this is it. I mean, when you've looked a fancy Dan in those little Mickey Mouse races in the summer, you don't really know what you've got. We know he's a good horse just by looking at his engine, the way he travels. He was, you know, he made Vindication pull out all the stops in a race last season at Ascot in a good bumper. So we always knew he was good, and he's always been highly regarded. But whether he was good enough mentally to win a race of this nature was the issue. He was very easy to back, and he was even bigger to back in running after he pulled like a Mustang all the way down the back straight. You think, this can't possibly get out. I mean, hit the front halfway down the back. Geraghty couldn't hold it. Sorry, it wasn't Geraghty who rode it, was it? It was Aidan Coleman couldn't hold it. And yet he still powered clear, having expended all that energy. Only the good horses can do that. He's almost now edging up to the 150 mark. Will he stay further? I don't know, but he's almost, I think, put himself in the fringes of a stayers hurdle category.
Mm.
I just don't know what else that you could do with him. You know, you've got races like the Coral Cup, the boys' race at the festival.
Mm.
But by the time that comes around, surely he would have won another one, and he's going to be, if he goes in again, he's going to be high 150s, early 160s, And the stayers hurdle at the moment, that scene is littered with unconclusive performers other than, you know what I mean, Harry, of course, is in the same ownership. So I don't know what they'd do with a horse like that, but he's got a massive, massive engine, a great amount of talent.
Well, he's run so far Southall, Kempton, Ascot, Perth, Warwick, Newbury. So track-wise, wouldn't scream Cheltenham so far, but he's untried on anything other than a flat track.
Mm.
So that'd be interesting to see if they did try and go to Cheltenham.
Yeah, because it's like that intermediate distance, and it was against workaday Saturday handicappers.
Mm.
I don't know what the camp will now be thinking, whether they'll think a higher level or what the next stepping stone would be. There's nothing other than handicaps over 2.5 miles. It's not like, oh yeah, we can target him at a graded race like now and find out. You've only really got to think, well, long walk, Cleve hurdle, or I don't know, like I say, any other value, but there's the brush hurdle race at Haydock. Mm. There's something like that. I just don't know the program button. I don't know what they've got in mind, but that was seriously impressive. And then, you know, the Jerry Field hurdle was won by a horse carrying top weight who showed all the other qualities that you need in a top quality handicapper, braving it out from the front, looking as though he's going to get headed on the running, found loads for severe pressure, it has to be said, by David Bass, who I think the stewards might have had a look at, but he did it the hard way and was equally as impressive doing it the way he did.
Now, Global Citizen, 225, Okay, very interesting. As for Sunday's racing, we're going to discuss, there's some great racing on Sunday in Ireland, which you're going to cover tomorrow
as early as I can, and send that over as early as I can.
And that is at Fairy House tomorrow, including the Hatton's Grace Hurdle, the Royal Bond Novice Hurdle, the Drinmore. They're all grade ones, but there's grade three. There's some competitive handicaps. It's a great card in Ireland. Leicester's card, lacking runners, 5-6, 5-6, 8, and a walkover at Leicester tomorrow. Not great.
No.
So I'd imagine you're going to focus on Carlisle.
I am.
Fancies
tomorrow. There's a couple of horses that catch the eye there tomorrow. They're both in competitive handicap hurdles. In fact, they're both in the two final of the series they've been running.
Mm-hmm.
The Smart Kits Northern Lights series is one over 2-1 and the other one over 3 miles. The first one I'll take a look at is the first as I mentioned, the 2 mile division.
That's at 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock, yeah. Mm. Take a Break is the one I quite like here. He won one of the qualifiers back in the early part of November. I love the way he went through that race. The form has worked out really well. It's quite a decent time figure, but there's been horses further down the line which have come out and franked the form. And even though he got beat the next day at Hexham, the ground would have been probably a little bit too soft for him at a stiffer track. Although he did run well behind St. Froyen, finishing fourth. But he's back round to Carlisle, back his favourite direction, going right-handed. And I think Connections would have probably sort of targeted him for that race. So I'll be quite keen on Take a Break in the 2 o'clock. And the other one to mention is Just a Tenner, who has been expertly campaigned by Tristan Davis through the summer jumping period, it has to be said, largely.
Mm.
But he's improved immeasurably, this horse. He looked like he was going to win an absolute mile a minute last time at Ayr. He came there tanking, as he's often in his want. He often gets held up right out of his ground. He could be 7 or 8 lengths off the back horse and then brought through gradually on the bridle. Creep, 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 creep. He hit the front two out at Ayr, like I say, travelling well, and he got just done by Taking Risks, who was a strong stayer. But there was no disgrace in that. Taking Risks ran really well last week over fences when he gave Vintage Clouds a scare. I think that's very good form. He's likely to be dropped out. The tracks would suit him. He won't mind the soft ground. He's won on soft ground at Cartmel. But yeah, he'll be like picking them off one by one, ticking them off, and he should arrive there at the last travelling well, and hopefully he'll get the job done this time.
That's in the 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
Just a tenner. Just going back to that 2 o'clock race, you mentioned Take a Break. I believe I'm right in saying it's actually owned by regular listeners to Racing Radio.
Okay.
The Ursa Major Racing Ursa Partnership. Major They've Racing. Been in touch before when the horse was running. So.
Well, we wish them all the best, and we hope, oh, I hope that I haven't put the fork in that horse's chances. But he's done really well since he's gone to Mark Walford. 2 wins and a 4th. But it's that track association which I like. I like horses that have won at a qualifier, won and already proven themselves at the track. The other one being Barry's Jack, who also ran in the same race. Those would be the two I'd concentrate on.
Okay, Take a Break in the 2 o'clock, and in the 3 o'clock, Just a Tenner, a couple to focus on for Sunday's action at Carlisle. As we mentioned, make sure you check out the William Hill Audio Boom page in the morning, because there will be an Irish Racing podcast there from Mr. Holding himself.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.